on Louise Erdrich's The Red Convertible. Louise Erdrich, born in Little Falls, Minnesota, grew up near the Turtle Mountain Reservation, where her grandfather had been a Chippewa tribal leader. Her parents encouraged her early on to write stories. Erdrich described her early writing in Contemporary Authors. "My father used to give me a nickel for every story I wrote, and my mother wove strips of construction paper together and stapled them into book covers. So at an early age, I felt myself to be a published author, earning substantial royalties." The Red Convertible, one of Erdrich's best-known stories, is the second chapter of her novel Love Medicine, a collection of 14 connected stories. In addition to her many novels, Erdrich has also published books of poetry. Literary critics have often noted the poetic quality of Erdrich's fiction. There is a lyricism, as well as a nonlinear quality to her narratives, that creates a unique charge in her work. Erdrich has said about her process that the writing doesn't start out and proceed chronologically. It never seems to start in the beginning. Rather, it's as though we are building something around a center, but that center can be anywhere. The purchase of the car in The Red Convertible has an almost magical quality to it. Erdrich's writing has sometimes been likened to Gabriel Garcia Marquez's magical realism because of the way seemingly common events can take on an otherworldly quality. The first time we saw it, I'll tell you when we first saw it. We had gotten a ride up to Winnipeg, and both of us had money. Don't ask me why, because we never mentioned a car or anything. We just had all our money. Mine was cash, a big bankroll from the Joliet's insurance. Henry had 2 weeks, had two checks, a week's extra pay for being laid off, and his regular check from the jewel-bearing plant. We were walking down Portage anyway, seeing the sights when we saw it. There it was, parked, large as life, really, as if it was alive. I thought of the word repose, because the car wasn't simply stopped, parked, or whatever. That car reposed, calm and gleaming, a for sale sign in its left front window. Then, before we had thought it over at all, the car belonged to us and our pockets were empty. We had just enough for gas back home. In part one, the magically real quality of the car is discussed. The car is a central symbol in the story. It opens up a new world for the boys, who feel the freedom of the open road, which Erdrich describes quite succinctly. We went places in that car, me and Henry. We took off driving all one whole summer. The story is aptly titled The Red Convertible, given the multi-layered importance of the car. The newfound freedom is emphasized in the way they are able to travel where the road leads them. This is perhaps most poignant in the scene where they meet Susie, the hitchhiker they pick up on the road. "Hop on in," says Henry. So she climbs in between us. "We'll take you home," I says. "Where do you live?" "Chicken," she says. "Where the hell's that?" I ask her. "Alaska." "Okay," says Henry, and we drive. This passage emphasizes the freedom the boys now have to make such choices. Its compression gives the moment a humorous quality, too. Few of us are in the position to make such a split-second decision to drive on to Alaska. It also highlights a stylistic approach Erdrich often uses. This compression is one reason Erdrich's work has been likened to the way poetry functions. Later, Erdrich sums up Henry's being drafted for the Vietnam War in a similar, understated way. We got home just in time, it turns out, for the army to remember Henry had signed up to join it. Erdrich's use of compression allows for such touches of humor, sometimes dark humor. In other places in the story, where there seems to be no room for humor, the compression and juxtaposition still speak volumes. Erdrich leaves a great deal unsaid in her writing, a quality important in fiction, but often considered crucial to poetry as well. Erdrich chooses to describe Henry's post-traumatic stress disorder in an understated way as well, focusing on the visceral reality of Henry's changed behavior. Her directness captures this. When he came home, though, Henry was very different, and I'll say this, the change was no good. The effect of war and trauma emerges as a central theme in the story, but Erdrich's handling of the subject has more than stylistic significance. It subtly points to the psychological trauma that is one lasting effect of war. When Henry goes into the river at the end of the story, he says simply, "My boots are filling." He says this in a normal voice, like he just noticed and he doesn't know what to think of it. Then he's gone. A branch comes by, another branch, and I go in. The scenes that might have followed this are left unwritten and have to be imagined. One has to imagine that Lyman must have looked frantically for Henry in the water before finally accepting that he was gone. The next paragraph begins with Lyman climbing out of the river. The images of the final paragraph are chilling in their matter-of-factness as Lyman sinks the car into the river with Henry. Erdrich's choice to leave so much unsaid makes the ending of the story even more highly charged. In parts one and two, we mentioned Erdrich's stylistic approach, her quick juxtapositions, as well as the way she deliberately leaves so much unsaid. She uses such techniques to build tension in the story. One interesting approach to writing about the red convertible could be to trace the various ways Erdrich builds the tension in her story, with the use of foreshadowing as well as irony. The story contains such foreshadowing from the very first paragraph, where Lyman states that we owned it together until his boots filled with water on a windy night, and he bought out my share. Now Henry owns the whole car, and his youngest brother Lyman, that's myself, Lyman walks everywhere he goes. Erdrich's phrasing of, he bought out my share, makes us think differently about a statement like, his boots filled with water. Though it feels ominous, it doesn't let us know how grim the ending of the story will be. The event is foreshadowed, but it also serves to create dramatic irony as well, as we don't really expect such an extreme conclusion. You might also consider comparing the story to another one you're reading for class. T.C. Boyle's Greasy Lake could offer intriguing possibilities for comparison, because while the two stories have a number of symbols in common, including the car and the body of water, and while both are coming-of-age stories in their own ways, they also offer a number of points to contrast. Another approach would be to focus on all the different ways the car figures in the story. In part one, we discuss the magically real dimension of the car. In part two, we emphasize the ways the car is vital to the theme, plot, and setting of the story. The red convertible is important to these boys, Lyman and Henry, But such a car is also a kind of universal, far-reaching symbol, particularly in the lives of adolescents. By the end of the story, it has taken on yet another layer of meaning as a symbol of grief. The magnitude of Lyman's grief over the loss of his brother is starkly revealed by his sinking the car into the river.